All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by the Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's the world's greatest Tuesday because we got a fresh episode of Oilers Nation Radio set and ready for your eardrums. Lying, we're just starting. See what I did there, Tyler?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Why are you confused looking?
Well, I was eating my apple.
And smart thing to eat during a recording.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, you can hear it.
Sounds good.
Mmm.
Little lip smack.
People get to watch this.
We're on camera now as well. Someone randomly came in and added a bunch of props to our set.
Wow.
Live, laugh, La Bamba behind you.
Just a blank whiteboard.
That's just in case Coach Bagmuck wants to step in, you know? The drops and plays.
I didn't even notice.
So that's what the Oilers have been putting or drawing up before all their penalty kills as of late.
Hello.
There's no marker, though.
That's okay.
Mom and you're old enough to be, you're the chalkboard guy. This is...
I was a whiteboard guy.
Damn kids needed a whiteboard.
That was a whiteboard chalk player.
A little bit of that chalk dust was good for you before the game.
Oh, in school? Yeah. This went away early for me.
Well, you know, even in minor hockey arenas, we saw chalkboards on the walls.
You did?
You didn't have chalkboards in school?
No, we had whiteboards.
Smart boards for me. Yeah, you're come from that Zach Hyman line. Very privileged.
How old do you think we all are, Liam?
I had chalkboards in England.
Hold on a second here. What the hell is a smart board?
Smartboard is an interactive whiteboard.
It's basically an iPad.
It's a big computer.
iPad on the wall.
Do you guys have the, I'm a chalkboard guy.
He's buffering.
Well, no,
because
I went to grade 7, we definitely had whiteboards, but I was in a brand new school for that. Did you have the projectors? You know where they put that thing upside down and backwards?
I do remember that from my early days.
Yeah, the overhead projector. That's what I'm talking about.
What smartboards look like.
I want to buy one of those. That is what smartboards were before, Rick.
Yeah.
So yeah, because they were like, smart because you could write on it with a marker.
You had to wipe that off.
And shows up.
And if you were not careful. Yeah,
then you could put like, long, try and make some animals on there.
Yeah. You guys really didn't have chalkboards.
Well, we did they were replaced by better technology.
So I had chalkboards all through elementary, but my junior high was a brand new school.
Interesting.
So I'm assuming that's why the technology was.
You also come from a country of cobblestone roads and such, you know?
Yeah, no,
Great Britain's known for their chalkboards.
I got to school on horseback most days. Mm-hmm.
First thing you said when you came to Canada, what is with all this smooth concrete? Yeah,
what are these
horse
what are these things
everywhere.
Driving around?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow, really? What an intriguing.
And every city and town in England sounds like it's from Middle Earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or Shire.
Or Hampshire. Mm-hmm. North Hampshire.
Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
Mm-hmm. Worcestershire, is that how you say it?
Worcestershire, yeah. Not Worcestershire.
Is that how you actually say it? Worcestershire.
Worcestershire. Right.
Worcestershire.
No, Worcestershire
sauce. Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire.
No.
One more time.
AHL team from Worcester?
Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire.
Worcester.
Worcestershire. Sorry.
Worcestershire. I can't even say it myself now. Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire sauce.
Thanks for tuning into our Oilers podcast, everybody.
Yeah, that's a delicious
We're teaching you how to make a Caesar. First ingredient, Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire sauce.
Eight to ten droplets.
No, it's not. You're just saying it like you got a mouthful of rocks.
It sounds like
Worcestershire sauce.
It sounds like you're re-pronouncing the word in the middle of the word.
Worcestershire.
It's like you go to say the wrong thing, you say Worcester, and then you're sure.
Worcestershire.
Worcestershire sauce.
No, Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire.
You know what? The next time you stumble something, I'm gonna say, Liam, you sound like you have rocks in your mouth. And we'll see how you feel.
I do.
Why would you ever want rocks in your mouth when you could put a cinnamon pull apart from Wendy's in your mouth?
There we go. Back on the road.
Thank you.
This is
no reason you can't have both now that Wendy's and Daily Faceoff Fantasy are giving you a chance to win weekly prizes all season long.
Spent 20 minutes on that.
I love when a plan works out, Rick. High five.
I was going to say, little do people know, we actually prep all of this.
DailyFaceoffSurvivor.com is where you want to go get your teams in. And hey, even if you make a few wrong picks, at least you know heading to Wendy's right now for a $5 Cinnabon pull apart. A small coffee is a great choice. That does sound lovely.
I've got a confession to make about the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool.
Go ahead.
So as you guys know, I wasn't here on Friday.
Here we go.
You were still alive
you
on Friday.
You were still in and you didn't play?
Didn't make my pick.
Wow.
Didn't make my pick. I made it all the way and I didn't make my pick.
You could have got some nuggos.
I could have got some nuggos. Mm. But here I am telling you all to say Worcestershire.
1 week.
I'm already out. So I essentially am suspended.
Not the game.
Oh, from maintenance day.
Yeah, you cannot eat there for a week.
Oh, no Wendy's for you for 1 week.
Well, that is a hassle because I do drive past the Wendy's every day.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Wendy.
Baconator.
No response.
Yeah, you say hello, Wendy.
I just like, if I go into Wendy's, I will murder spicy chicken sandwiches like crazy. They're so good.
They haven't put them on special in a couple of years now, I'm going to tell you.
Well, you know what? Because I know old bag milk's coming in paying full price. DailyFaceoffSurvivor.com. Go sign up. Win some prizes, win some points, win some Wendy's. Tyler, what's the delicious debate?
Delicious debate today is about Evander Kane, who was given a maintenance day. And then this morning, before the Oilers game against Winnipeg, in Winnipeg, said this when asked about it.
Evander, how are you feeling about just getting back in after having a maintenance game or a maintenance day a couple of games?
I feel good. I feel good, yeah.
Was it just a buildup of things that sometimes just have one game off gives you an extra few days to rest and be ready?
I guess so, yeah.
So I guess it's a two-parter. What do you make of the maintenance day and what do you make of the, as you just heard, Kane's response?
Well, it doesn't really sound like it was a maintenance day. It sounds more like a healthy scratch day.
There's a lot of reasons for the maintenance day, you know? The dude hasn't scored in how long? We have too many forwards right now.
We have to cycle
guys in and out of the lineup right now. He hasn't scored in quite some time.
He's maintaining his spot in the press box.
Yeah, look, and then I think you have to give him a little bit of credit for answering those questions that way, as opposed to like calling out the coach or the team and saying, hey, like, I mean, that's kind of what everyone expects out of this guy, is for him to sit there and say, oh, no, obviously he wasn't hurt. But he didn't call out the coach. He didn't call out the team. He didn't say anything negative. He had a couple cheeky kind of answers that I don't think surprises anybody. And the team calling it a maintenance day, if they were benching him, well, that's kind of like what you do with veterans. You're like, hey, listen, you're going to take a rest this game.
Unless you're torts.
We're not going to tell you that. We're not going to say, hey, listen, we're benching this kid. We're going to say it's a maintenance day. We had a talk behind closed doors. Now it's over. You move on to Winnipeg and yeah, let's go.
That is precisely my issue with what Kane did today, though.
Why?
If the team is going to do you the solid of not going through a quote healthy scratch and you aren't in the headlines,
but he didn't say anything. We're just insinuating that.
But then you can come out and just, it would have been so easy for this to be a non-story if Kane came out today and said, yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm ready to get back and contributing. Boom, done. Instead, he does his little snarky thing because he wants it to be a story and wants everyone to know the team benched him. I don't like that.
I don't know, man. You're a guy, like, you have an ego to play professional sports. You have to have an ego. And some guys' egos are a little bit bigger than others, and it is what it is.
So let me ask you a question. did you have a problem with the Draisaitl Kane interaction on the bench? Cause I did not.
I had like the furthest thing from a problem. I didn't even, when I first saw it on the broadcast, I was kind of like, eh. And then when I saw people who were wondering about it on social media,
really digging into it.
Yeah. I was just like, that probably happens 2 to 4 times a game on most teams.
I've yelled at my friends about stupider topics than anything they were talking about, and it got way more heated than that.
Yes, I don't know, like
that one didn't even look heated.
We're a not really at all soft group super of people soft. Now if we're gonna look at that and think that that's like the end of the world or something like that. I have worked in pretty high stress situations where you definitely do that and then some with other people, and when it's all said and done and the clouds clear away, you sit down, have a beer, and nothing ever, like it's nothing, it's a non thing.
I think too, like heat of the moment, very competitive alpha personalities. It's going
to
happen.
Yeah. No shit. Who cares?
I think the only thing that maybe added some fuel to it was the fact that, you know, a month ago, right before the deadline, we kind of heard those reports that Draisaitl and Kane were, I don't remember the term that was used, but like butting heads behind the scenes, maybe, or there was a rift there between the two.
There was actually a hand to hand fight in Detroit of two guys who play on the same damn team. And then the next game, they stood up for each other. And I was the first one to say, that was my hot performer, I think, something like that. That's fantastic. That's how you bring a team together. You go through whatever during the times, and when it's over, you're back to being buddies. You're back to being brothers. You're back to being family. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah. I just in the early should have said he was healthy scratched. Like, just come out and just say what it was to start.
You know, and see, even they kind of make the story big of a thing.
I don't think it's a big deal.
The NHL is known for upper body injuries, lower body injuries.
Maybe, yeah, that's true.
That's what this league is. It is what it is.
But it just felt so inevitable what was going to happen. But he could have just started with just say what you're doing. You're healthy scratching him because he hasn't scored in 15 games, whatever it's been, and you want to see more from him. And then that can be it. Instead of now, it's just like clear that they didn't give him a maintenance day, that he was healthy scratched. And now Kane has to go into the media, and whatever he said today was going to be a headline because it's Evander Kane. And that is what it is. I'm not really reading too much into it.
No,
he's probably pissed because he doesn't want to get scratched.
Said it either. I actually think that he could have said way worse considering he was probably pissed about getting healthy scratched. I don't really have too much of a problem. I don't like asking for personality from NHL players and then getting upset when I get it.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Dan, thoughts?
I think for me, it's again, I feel like I'm harping on it a little bit now, but I guess it's just, I want something more from Knobloch here than what I got. And I think that's where the ambiguity of the situation kind of comes into it, because you guys mentioned it, like the Oilers come out and say it's a healthy scratch. Collectively, like through social media,
but Knobloch would have sat down with Evander Kane behind closed doors, and they would have had a one-on-one, and they would have spoken about this, and the rest of the world doesn't have to know about it.
But they do and they don't, because you're right. Because you're right, Rick. Except that the media is going to go and ask Evander Kane this question, and Evander Kane is going to answer that question. You know, Evander Kane is an Edmonton Oiler, and to me, if I'm the head coach, I know that the message is going to get convoluted if I'm not getting in front of it. And it just seems like, at least in my perspective, Knobloch is a different head coach than what we've had in the past with Woodcroft and all the others, not giving us necessarily the same access to his thought process. But I think that Oiler fans are used to that, and that's where the questions come into.
You care about your interactions with your players, and the media doesn't mean shit.
But it does, though.
It doesn't.
Yes, it does. No. Because that's exactly where this whole thing has come from, is the media.
Because they did it. The media keeps bringing it up. If you're a coach, if you're the coach, you're the father, you're the whatever role, you speak to your family, you speak to your player, and media doesn't matter. Like, you're like, hey, listen, this was dealt behind that door. You guys aren't allowed back there. I have nothing says I have to tell you what happened behind that closed door. It was happened behind that door. The door opened. Situation's over. He ain't playing. Move on.
I guess my thing, and this is like, it's like the Lindy Ruff conversation where Ruff comes out and says, well, you guys are asking too many questions about the power play. Well, no, like those guys aren't performing on the power play. You're the head coach. Start talking about the damn power play. Like that's the step for me. That's just missing.
I think as long as you keep that stuff in the dressing room and whatever you want to tell the media, tell the media. Whatever you don't want to tell the media, don't tell the media.
Well, then just don't get upset when fans go crazy and we run rampant with it.
Nobody got upset.
The fans are. We're running rampant with the story though. Because the team isn't,
and the team shouldn't give two shits what the fans think about inter-family issues like that.
But I guess, and this is my last thing, is just if Knobloch came out and said his piece, then the Oilers are in front of it, and we're not leaving it to Evander Kane to discuss it or determine it.
I would agree as well. It's just, again, the Oilers could have just said he was healthy scratch because he hasn't scored in so many games. He needs a day to look at what's happening from above.
And then Kane coming out and be pissed would be like, yeah, that makes sense. He was healthy scratch. But right now, to me, it feels like Dan dropped
his phone. Having an issue over there.
To me, it feels like the team came out and did Kane a solid by saying, we're going to call it a maintenance day, but we're sitting you down for a game.
Sure.
And he came out and kind of shit on that
He left it. He didn't say anything bad. We're reading into his smile. We're reading to his smirk. He could have, and he would have earlier in his career, actually done the bad thing. I think he took the high road from the Evander Kane walk of life and said, hey, listen, like it is what it is, and just moved on.
And see, maybe I'm jaded because earlier in the year, I didn't like when they put him on the third line against Winnipeg and he complained about, I haven't had this much opportunity or this little opportunity, rookie.
That's the funny thing is because we see this stuff in like NFL all the time. Like, I don't get the fucking football. And then you get 19 passes the next game and no one really says anything. That's just who he is. And he didn't like being on the third line, and go ahead and tell the whole world you don't like being on the third line. It's not going to change anything. You're on the third line. That's where you are.
What's certainly not going to help this conversation is some quotes I'm about to read to you from the 32 Thoughts podcast. Merrick and Friedman were opining about the Kane situation. And I quote from Elliot Friedman. Well, look, there was a lot of conspiracy theories floating around the Oilers on Sunday night when Kane didn't play. There was a scene of him on the bench with Draisaitl. I have to say, everyone's opinion is different. To me, it didn't look that bad. I have worse arguments with Kevin Bieksa on Saturday nights. That did not look that bad to me, but I freely admit people may not have liked it. What I didn't like on Saturday, mind you, was Draisaitl and McDavid really got pushed around. And one of the things Toronto has talked about this year is we can't be like that. If you push around our best players, we got to come at you with the puck pack mentality. Like the two Florida teams are very much like that. The Panthers are definitely like that. And the Lightning are like that. If someone brushes their goalie, if Stamkos and Hedman are the closest guys, they're going after the people and everyone gets into the pile. It's like five of them coming at everyone. And there's a lot of teams in the league that are like that that have that mentality. If I was the organization, I would not like how McDavid and Draisaitl were treated in Toronto. There's nothing wrong with what the Maple Leafs did to them. They should try to rough those guys up, but it's on yourselves to protect them. So when Chris Knobloch came out before the Ottawa game on Sunday night and said Kane was out for a maintenance day, you could see in some of the tweets, it's like they're calling it maintenance. They're just calling it maintenance. You could tell the reporters who were there didn't believe it one lick. They cast doubt over it, and I had to say, I wondered about it too. If this is a healthy scratch here and they're keeping quiet, seeing all the craziness that came out of the Sean Couturier situation, just might be. I wonder out loud, and I'm sorry, Lehman. Sorry, Lehman.
That little gap there, right?
Big breath.
Friedman continues. I wondered if the Oilers were just saying, you know what? We want to do something here, but we don't want to pour gasoline on the fire. Now, I think if this is an injury for Kane too, potentially that maybe he could play through, but on back-to-back, they just said, you know what? Let's just rest him up and we'll go from there. There we go. Lehman, back to you.
And I mean, that's an angle. I hadn't heard that quote before, and that's a good way of putting it, of like Kane not doing that. But in that game is one thing I saw was Joel Edmondson absolutely buried Connor McDavid in the first period on that power play. Like, he just went at him aggressively and put him right down in the corner, right? Evan Bouchard just allowed Austin Matthews to go and get that puck and do whatever he wanted with it.
Well, I think he tried to jump the side of him and do something. Yeah, his play, made a play. It was a bad play.
It was the wrong play.
Sure.
Hit Matthews if you're going to do it. I know that's not his game, but they just did it to McDavid. So I think it's interesting that Evander Kane, and I get it, completely different roles, is like the scapegoat of that. When it was such an obvious play from Bouchard, which he's now done in back-to-back Saturdays against star players, and there's nothing done about it. I don't think he should have been. But He needs to hit,
but he's going for the puck.
But he's shit at doing that.
But then, if he's not going to hit him, then he should be riding for at least a shift or two. Or
something. And that's because
On Toronto was arguably the worst defensive effort I've seen in quite some time.
But it looks bad because of the play he tried to make. He tried to avoid the contact, sneak the puck on the backside.
First problem. The second problem is just staring at the play as they're going to the net.
And the thing that worries me about that point,
do you hook him? Do you hook him? Do you give him the power play? Or do you
do something?
But do you give him the power play, or do you just go, hey, listen, the chance that this guy can score from this angle, you got to be playing the numbers something. At one point.
But stick
and poke, take a penalty.
Grab him by the jersey.
And so take a penalty.
Sure.
As opposed to allowing the
best scorer in the league right now to walk right to the front of that. Yeah, I do that.
See, and I think you got to kind of what's worse here, and I understand
getting
what
scored
you're saying
on
there.
Is way worse.
No, because we do this when it comes to a fucking breakaway all the time. Like when you're on a breakaway, or the guy's got a clear end, do you try and stop him and take the hooking or the penalty shot, or do you go, this play has a second and a half to fix itself, or he gets to come in from the blue line and do it all over again?
I think the bar should be above doing literally nothing.
But it's not nothing.
How is it not?
Because he made a choice that hey, listen, I'm going to go for the guys in front of me going to do their thing, so I don't have to take a damn penalty to stop this.
I think we saw the play completely differently.
That's fair, but I'm saying the same thing. Is sometimes when you're behind, taking the hooking, the holding, I know that's always, you're supposed to be trying to stop the guy, but the worst case scenario, you go 5-on-3. Best case scenario, the play stops in front of you because someone steps up and makes a play.
I understand what you're saying, Rick.
And I'm not using the best words in order to do it, but
I agree. He tried to make a play. It was the wrong play. Yeah. I think the problem is he was very clearly trying to make the easy play, the tough play as a defenseman. Fair. You recognized Austin Matthews is on the ice. If that's whoever, I know that Holmberg guy had 2 goals, but if you're going into the corner with Holmberg and you want to try outskill him. I don't give a shit. When you're going into the corner with Matthews and McKinnon, get in there. You're not going to outskill those guys. Get in there and get the puck the dirty way and go from there. That's what I didn't like about it. And I think that's, again, I think the people who are unreasonably hard on Bouchard, not that any of you guys have been unreasonably hard on him. I think it's all fair right now. But the people who were freaking out like he needs to be healthy scratch, this is why he'll never be a top four guy, all that.
No, no, no.
I think, again, 250 games into the kid's career, he learned some lessons this week. And remember early in the year how often he would have those brutal defensive gaffes? It was like every game he was having a grade A brain fart in the D zone. What's he at now? Once every, and I know Saturday. It happened twice this week.
Once every Saturday.
Once every Saturday. But before that,
that's one every 7 days now. We're getting better.
But before that, he went 10 straight games without giving up a goal 5-on-5 when he was on the ice.
And nobody says anything about that.
No one ever wants to bring that up when talking about Evan Bouchard.
Only look at the little bad plays.
So I think can look at the 60 games this year as he's gone from game 190 to 252 or whatever we're at. He's made some big strides. And I choose to take the line of, he's going to take these two moments. They're going to coach him. Paul Coffey will do his thing, and he will become a better defenseman for it. He's 250 games into his NHL career. Let's not, as I like to say, throw the baby out with the bathwater here.
But I also just pointing out a play where he sucks on it. I don't think is me saying I don't like him as a player either, because I'm a big, big Bouchard guy.
Well,
I will say the same thing. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins can't fucking score to save his life. That doesn't mean I don't like him.
Well, he's cursed.
The snake bite is real.
He had 7 or 8 shot attempts against Ottawa.
3 posts in 2 games. But back to Bouchard, it's just you point out an error. That doesn't mean anybody wants to get rid of him.
I think that's annoying. That's the most annoying thing for me, is because you saw that play. I saw that play against the Leafs. And part of me is man, I just want to tirade on Bouchard's game today. But then there's a part of me that's yeah, but I don't want to be labeled as a Bouchard hater, because I'm not. I'm just recognizing that he's had a bad couple of games. And it's the same thing with Kane.
Everybody had a bad game against Toronto.
But and that's what I was just going to say. It's the same thing with Evander Kane. I'm not frustrated at his whole season. I'm really fucking frustrated at these last 2 games, and I want to just hear something better from him. Same thing with Bouchard. I didn't like his effort against Toronto. I didn't like the response against Ottawa. He's got to be better. And if he doesn't know that, then we have a real problem. But I
think goes with Darnell Nurse needs to be way better.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially like, I actually thought he had a really good first half of the year. He's had a little run now of a couple weeks.
Where I'd say like, probably mid-Feb, he kind of like trailed off a little bit, but like Darnell Nurse definitely needs to be better.
Just got
to
simplify
Simplify things.
But then again, yeah, I always, similar Dan's point, I always hate pointing out Darnell Nurse mistakes because I don't think as a collective we do a good enough job pointing out his good games and his good stretches, because you don't want to be one of those people who just sounds like you're sitting there going 9.25 and you sound like just like a mouth breather who doesn't actually.
I think Stauffer said it on one of the games, though, is like the best players on our team have to be better at goals against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So best players on the team have to be the best players.
Yes, but they're allowing too many goals against.
Yeah, totally.
And again, guys,
and they're on the ice, and that's not 100%. Good.
Guys are allowed to have bad games, bad stretches, whatever. It happens to everyone in the league. Alex Ovechkin had 8 goals through 49 games this year.
Now he's 8-5.
And I think part of, like, not to weirdly bring this back to myself, but like Calvin Pickard has a not great game against the Senators. And my Twitter mentions are blowing up with people going back and retweeting something I said from the game against Dallas when I was like, hey, Pickard's playing good. I don't think we need a goalie at the deadline anymore. And people were bringing that up after the game against Ottawa when he gave up 4 goals. And it's like,
we also got up really good opportunities.
Yeah. And no one brings up the Pickard conversation. Those detractors never say, whoa, Pickard played good after going.
Like when he shut out the Penguins on 40 shots or whatever it was.
Yeah, dude, he went like 111, he went over 100 minutes without letting a goal in.
Yeah.
No one ever tweeted
very
about,
good.
No one ever said, hey, good job, Ken, for finding him as your third goalie. Do you know,
the people you're referring to that have never said, good job, Ken.
Pulling well, there's like before the trade deadline is a no-no, according to Liam.
There's also a sizable segment of us where they're just pointing out to confirm what they think.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And anything that goes to the opposite side of the argument just does not get
pretty much. Look at all the comment sections of almost everything.
You know, what's fun though, is being right.
Of course.
I do like
totally fucking right.
And I like to prove when I am right.
Of course.
I did notice there was, after Hyman scored 50, there was someone on Twitter who was like, I do think it's fair to point out the massive risk the Oilers took in the Zach Hyman deal. Wow. I was like, is it fair to point that out right
well,
now?
Well, it's also fair to point out you can't really cheer for the guy because he had a privileged upbringing.
Yeah.
Did you know he's the only NHL player to come from a rich background?
It is true.
You guys,
true.
Yeah.
And you knew,
his parents bought those goals this year.
Do you know that every privileged player also scores 50?
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, we were all five of us were one privileged parent away from scoring 50 goals in the NHL.
Part of the reason why Mike Comrie has his number in the rafters in Edmonton. And
let's not forget.
Noted 50 goal scorer. Mike Comrie.
Let's not forget. He had a brother. Yeah, for the same bank account.
Paul Comrie also is a 50 goal scorer.
Yeah.
It's so, brother. If you haven't done it and you want to piss yourself off, go watch that Andrew Berkshire thing.
Walking in a forest.
Are Zach Hyman's parents rich? Yes.
I would also like to congratulate.
That affected so much since he's been about 15 years old.
I would also like to congratulate Spencer, Oliver, Cooper, and Shane Hyman for scoring 50 goals as well. Those are, of course, his siblings.
Ah, yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
You know?
Of course.
Congratulations to all five of you.
That record luckiest book is 50, full of them.
Luckiest 50 goals in NHL history, arguably.
Oh, and those idiots too. Gee whiz.
The people. All Zach Hyman does is score from the front of the net. And all Mike Tyson was good at is punching.
Like,
You supposed to score? Like, your goal doesn't count unless it's 30 feet away?
Yes. You only get a half goal if it's right in the crease.
But remember, if it's too far away, then it's bad goal.
I mean, they're just walking hand in hand with the second assist doesn't mean anything, people.
I remember a time when people thought that Ovechkin goal should stop counting from above the hash mark.
It should.
Yep.
If he lines up before the shot is ready, people don't think that should count.
Agreed.
It shouldn't.
For a limited time, our listeners can get
money.
25. You want to know what you do with your money? You go to DoorDash and you order something. For a limited time only, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on the first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. For 25% off, up to a $10 value, zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the promo code NATION25. Don't forget, promo code NATION25 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Offer valid in Canada. Subject to change. Terms do apply. There's a game tonight. I recommend a little DoorDash. Maybe get yourself some Zolium.
Well, that'd be good.
And then you can double dash some dessert afterward.
If you're getting pizza, get it from the Italian Center on DoorDash.
They are good pizza?
It's the best.
I always go there to get their cheater pizza dose when I'm making my own pizza.
Yeah, those are good.
Those are very good. Let them rise up for a little bit.
Come on.
Flatbread.
Come on. I don't know how to make dough, but they do. I'll pay $1 for it.
I don't know how.
I can figure it out. Lehman, what's wrong? You got a look on your face that
Tyler saw his little prank there that he tried to pull on us.
Gene Principe level pun. Did you get it?
Yep.
All
right. Is that what you think pranks are?
I don't know. We'll find out later this week when I prank you, Dan.
I don't
stay tuned.
Know if he got it.
Ah, there we go.
Lehman.
All right, who delivered?
Starting down at the end of the line, Nation Dan, who delivered for our friends at DoorDash?
Well, if it wasn't for his rich parents, he wouldn't get this. But Mr. Zach Hyman gets my delivery for scoring his 50th goal. It was a fun weekend side story to watch, and really cool to see that video that came out afterwards of all the players just getting so excited for him.
Yeah, I'll hop on that. The Oilers social team delivered too. Just cutting that up the way they did was really cool. And
having him mic'd up was awesome.
Yeah, so cool. 50 goals, does it from his office right in front of the net.
His parents probably bought that microphone though.
Yeah, that's why the audio was so good. it's so cool to see him become a 50 goal guy. There was a part of me when he didn't get it in Toronto, I selfishly was like, I hope he does it on home ice because I'd like him to have the ovation, but I'm sure they'll do something on Thursday for him at the game. So yeah, Zach Hyman's a 50 goal scorer. That is something.
Well, you guys are incorrect. You're the actual winner of this goes to his parents for getting the 50 goals.
Yeah.
Zach had very little to do with it. Love. Thank you to mom and dad Hyman.
Grandma, grandpa Hyman too.
Whoever started.
Whoever really kicked off the entrepreneurial spirit.
The founder of the Hyman bloodline.
Yeah.
Because here we need to thank you.
Quite a ways back.
Very important. Yeah. Also the siblings, 50 goal scorers. Huge, huge moment for the family.
That was good.
Liam, you're up next for our friends at DoorDash. Who delivered for you?
Well, mine's going to go to Zach Hyman's parents, who are obviously going to pay for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl to continue their NHL dreams.
Somebody's got
to
do it.
Paying their next contract. So the Hyman family, again, for paying the other's way.
Ding
They're now actually indeed. Owners of the team as well. Because that's the only reason Zach Hyman's in the NHL.
Of course.
His parents bought the teams.
That video has just sent our office into disarray.
I came in today while you and Liam were sitting at the table and I was like, have you guys seen this?
Yeah. I walked in, like the first thing I walked in and I come around the corner and goes, have you seen this video? I was like, what are we talking about?
I'm just glad we got here. Things can be a little more clever in our comments because when I first saw it, I was like, man, I don't even think I can go in and like talk on a microphone today because the things I'm about to say are probably not going to be smiled upon by the uppers.
You know,
so I'm glad we got a little clever with this.
Everyone have a favorite Zach Hyman goal from this year that we can share?
You know what I love?
Hyman was the one in front of the net.
I legitimately love when he stacks himself beside the post and basically effectively extends the net 3 feet and takes one in the chest to let it fall at his feet and knock it in.
I love it.
What is that?
I feel like he's been standing there and like trying to do the actual deflection thing. And then they just start hitting him in weird spots. He's like, hey, this is not even, you know what?
Just shoot him at
stick,
me.
Take my stick. Someone hold. I'm just going to play this little posty thing over here.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear some harder plastic on the front here and try and deflect it in.
He legitimately has some really nice goals that were outside of just the crease this year. I think of the one and it didn't count. And it's a damn shame. The one against Toronto earlier in January that got disallowed for offside or whatever it was. That thing was a beauty.
Oh, my favorite one was his hat trick goal against Washington, where they didn't announce it till late in the third period.
Yeah. Cause we got to enjoy that together. Yeah,
and everyone threw the hats on the ice and Washington were visibly all 50 pissed.
Of them because this year he has, how many of them are not allowed this year?
Seven.
It's very low. He's like league average, I think.
Doesn't he have seven?
I think he still has a handful.
Yeah, he's just seven, I think.
No, seven was last year.
I think he's at 3 or 4 this year.
This year he's had like,
was it last year 7?
2 or 3 this year because I made a graphic.
Last year was terrible.
Meme about it and then I've never used it again.
Last year he would have 65 goals, but they got called back.
Yeah, his parents didn't write a big enough check.
No, obviously not. You know? They'd get the sell their Bitcoin.
My favorite, he had a hat trick against Carolina, but do you remember one of them? He like spun out of the corner, put it through his legs along the boards, and then like cut to the front of the net, drove through traffic, and then threw it far side. That one was sick.
That's when I started my Zach Hyman natural goal scorer debate. Actually, was that game. Still believe that.
Was it the same game, the one where he fired home like a one knee one timer, Alex Ovechkin style from the bottom of the circle?
I love that. Alex Chiesa, a guy can score 50 goals in the National Hockey League. By my count, according to the research I did before after that game, leading into that, there was only 96 players in NHL history who have scored 50. And the people go, tap in merchant. 96.
Do you know there has only been like, if he was to get to 59, which is on pace for, there's only been like seven guys who have done that since 2000.
Yeah, but he only scores from in front of the net, so they don't count.
One of them, Jonathan Chichu, once got 56, which is a crazy step.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Tyler, for our friends at DoorDash, who deliver for you.
Can I just keep saying Zach Hyman too? Like, can we just dedicate the whole segment to our guy, well, Zachary Martin Hyman?
What do you know about his cousins?
One of them was at the game in Ottawa, but only one. His cousin Andy took the train. He said that after.
What do you know about their parents?
Probably lots of money.
Probably lots of money. Yeah.
They actually own the train.
Yeah.
It was the family train.
So he's going to score 50 next year?
Probably.
Wow.
Probably. If he wants to.
Huge.
I'll just take another run at the Zach Hyman thing and add this. But do you guys think he can do it again next year? Is this a guy, like, is this repeatable?
Based on the way his pace has increased year over year, I guess he gets 70 next year.
Fair. See, I think one thing that's going to be interesting for next year, and I think he could, but like McDavid isn't scoring,
yes.
Nuge isn't scoring, Draisaitl's a bit off his pace. Like, but it's Nuge interesting is- to see how that kind of all balances out. I think what Hyman's able to do is something that's sustainable because of the way he scores goals. But that's not some. It's going to sound wrong, but it's not an incredibly difficult skill. It's not easy to stand in front of that. Don't get me wrong, but like in comparison. It's a bit easier to score from there than it would be for like how the other guys would score.
Yes.
Is that fair to say? Yeah. Phew.
You danced that one real
take
well.
A big set of cojones to stand there though, Liam.
It does. I would never.
I could see him getting 40 next year. I really do think he kind of goes the way that McDavid decides to go. If McDavid decides next year is another 100 assist season, absolutely put him down for 50. But if McDavid decides to shoot the puck again next year, which I really hope he does start doing that this playoffs, and then I don't think so.
Pretty funny. Connor McDavid only has 26 goals this year. Zach Hyman might finish the year with twice the amount of goals as Connor McDavid. If someone would have told you that at the start of the year, you probably would have been like, damn, how will the Oilers get through the Connor McDavid injury?
But then you look at it and go, oh, well, he might become the fourth player in NHL history to get 100 assists. So weird.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
Rick,
I was just going to say, somebody did put up the image on Reddit there the other day of Joe Thornton and Jonathan Chichu and said this McDavid and Hyman 2.0.
Jonathan Chichu.
I don't necessarily think that Hyman will have the same fall off that Chichu did, where you ended up in the AHL, I think, two years
Oklahoma.
Later for the Oklahoma City Barons. But you could see it definitely not being the same level as it is this year.
Boy, yeah, Chichu was out of the league in a hurry.
6 years later, he was in Zagreb, which is Croatia.
56 1 years.
I bet you it's a gorgeous place to play, though.
To Chichu, Dwayne Rolison robbed his soul in the playoffs that year.
That did happen.
He never gave it back to him.
Good. He played in the KHL for 4 years, but never played in Russia.
Smart.
Zagreb, Minsk, and Bratislav.
I think those teams did end up playing in Russia.
Oh, I know, but he never played. He
refused to go to Russia.
Minsk is Belarus.
Oh, really?
Capital, actually.
The old Andy Pettit.
You're going to argue with the capital guy?
No, I was going to say, I can't argue with that. Bratislava?
Bratislava is Slovakia, I think.
Yeah, the Slovan.
Rick, for our friends at DoorDash, who delivered for you? You got to figure out a new angle.
I know.
Already. You said Zach Hyman's parents.
Yeah, I was down with the parents, but hey, we got a little 1B can go to Ekholm again for keeping his game going.
I'm going to go Zachary Martin Hyman. You delivered. The last 3 years you've delivered. I'm going to say you've delivered so much for me over the last 3 years that I don't even know what to say about you. There is, like Tyler, I have a tweet from before he signed with the Oilers that's getting retweeted by Leafs fans that went, his career high is 21 goals. Do we need a 7-year contract?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. So Zach Hyman, you delivered on making an old tweet from mine that isn't even that bad.
He really disliked Toronto, didn't he?
Yep. Also,
What year did we get him?
Toronto delivered by letting him go for Michael Bunting, who then left as well.
Tyler, can you run this through me quickly? What year did we get?
Run something through him.
Hyman.
2021 was his first season.
2021 was his first season. So 2020. How do I find out who the other free agents were from that year? Okay. That'd be interesting to look at, see what everyone else got in comparison. There's a lot of debate right now if he's the best free agent sign-in of the cap era.
For the Oilers, yes.
For the Oilers, yes. I think one thing that sways him.
Your big Andrew Ladd guy?
Yeah, I loved Andrew Ladd.
It's not about the name.
It's about the
numbers he's putting up at the beginning to where it is now. Yes. And I don't think anyone's taking that kind of a jump.
And I think part of it too is because a lot of people said Panarin, a lot of people said Pronger, Niedermeyer, Chara.
They didn't take the step.
Yeah, that's the difference.
And also all those guys got paid top dollar.
Yeah.
Which is another part of my problem with people being like tap in, merchant, whatever. Like if the Oilers were paying Zach Hyman, I did this rant the other day on ON Every Day, but if the Oilers were paying Zach Hyman $9.5 million because he was a 50-goal guy before and they wanted him to be a 50-goal guy here, then I would understand being like, he doesn't exactly drive play like you'd want a $9.5 million guy to do and all of that. The Oilers pay him $5.5 million a year. For him to be, if he was a perennial 30-goal guy, it would be an unreal contract. For him to now be in the 40, 50-goal range, like it... It is, in my opinion, the best signing of the cap era, just because it's coming in at such a low cap it and giving you so much surplus value.
Well, and I mean, the Edmonton Oilers had so many 50 goal scorers before Hyman that were just playing on McDavid's wing and just potting goals like that previously.
So, last number 18 to score 50 with the Oilers.
Craig Simpson.
Lehman?
Craig Simpson.
Great hairline on him too.
What do we got over here,
Tyler? Sell some carpet.
I'm good there.
Mm-hmm.
End of the roll.
Dan, it's time to get your great game prepped while the boys are looking up their stats here.
Oh, yeah, we have the game today.
I want to tell you about the game day viewing party at Greta on April 6th. Tickets available now at nationgear.ca. You're going to want to go there. We're going to be raising some money in support of the Logan Hunter Memorial Fund. So we're going to be having a viewing party for a great cause. Come down and join us. This event is going to sell out nationgear.ca. That's where you get your tickets. Turning that over to Dan, Nation Dan.
I didn't give you guys any prep today, so this is all going to be off the cuff. We are playing the Winnipeg Jets tonight, so I thought it was only fitting that we should go ahead and draft
bus depots,
airports that we've been to that we would like to draft.
Not been to?
Well, as an airline carrier.
Been to?
Defunct or, been to, yes.
Definitely not picking United.
Or it can be... flying right now, an airline carrier that can be flying right now, or a defunct airline. All right,
sure, let's go through.
So drafting three airports.
Finationgear.ca. We're drafting airports. Certainly won't be Winnipeg's.
Drafting first. I did the order while we were sitting here. Tyler, and then Liam, Rick, Bag Milk, and myself.
Tyler's been nowhere, so he's just going to pick Edmonton three times.
And Calgary.
Also, I do know there are going to be some like airport snobs who get at us about this. They're like, actually, when you look at the flow of the airport, it's actually not that good.
That's why it's better.
But you got to think about it, like ease of use, the what's inside the airport.
Yep. Exactly.
If you've had a layover and you want to chill, like that part of it, you know?
Yep. So Tyler? I would say first overall, Edmonton International Airport.
Love that Chili's.
The Chili's is so elite, you can't ignore it. And there's no place like home.
Perfect.
Didn't even talk about the Oilers. Second.
Heathrow
Airport.
Heathrow's great. Board.
What is the reason for it?
There's basically a mall in the airport and you'll never get bored.
Okay. Perfect.
Sounds terrible.
Rick.
Vegas.
Drafting Vegas off the board. Your reason?
It's Vegas.
Okay. Perfect. It's Beg very Milk. Valid. Can't beat that logic. Go ahead, Beg Milk.
I'm going to go to Narita Airport in Tokyo. It is an 8-level airport. It has got a mall in there and it is the home to the best sushi I've ever eaten in my life. Narita Airport in Tokyo.
Perfect. Thank you, Beg Milk.
That's in Tokyo?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I am going to draft Pearson Airport just because it's a hub out of, all of Canada.
Have you seen what Tyler was saying before with the time schedule and everything? It's not great.
I didn't think deeply on this one, I guess. And my carrier is going to be the Concorde.
Oh, nice.
Thanks.
Yeah.
The supersonic jet.
Yeah, it's real fast. Speedy.
Yes. Bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
So, back to you, Liam, drafting an airport or a carrier, either alive or defunct.
Well, I'll just go WestJet.
Okay, going to grab a WestJet.
Hometown team.
Yeah. Always had good experience on WestJet.
There you go. Rick.
Just trying to get some extra points.
Did you skip me?
Oh, yep. Bag Milk. I did skip you. Sorry. I apologize. Your airport choice or carrier, now defunct or alive?
I'm going to go with, this isn't a great airport, admittedly, but it is massive and you can get anywhere in the world from it. LAX.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Not a great airport experience, but you can go anywhere you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear that.
Perfect. LAX. Okay, I apologize. I really did jump out of the order there. Liam just jumped in and grabbed his airline carrier.
You said my name.
I know, that's my fault. That's my fault. I'm really excited. So LAX for Bag Milk. I was just figuring that all out as Bag Milk was riffing there. Rick, you're going to be drafting an airport and or carrier.
Well, again, this is airports that I've been to. Not a large quantity here. So I'm going to go with Nashville's airport.
Oh, nice.
Nice. That's a good one.
Ask me why.
A good one. Yeah.
Nashville why? Is How in come? The news. Their aircraft carrier or their air traffic controller just chirped the Golden Knights there. I got that on Hockey Fight social media if you want to check that out.
Ooh, I like them even more now. Why? Mm. Because it's Nashville. Nashville's fun.
There you go. So Rick is going for Thank the you. Fun tour with his.
And Liam, airport you choices. Drafted WestJet, you'll remember correctly. So we're going to jump over to Tyler with his airport or and or carrier option.
Did they Pearson out in Toronto?
I already drafted that. Sorry, you got to draft something else.
Vancouver.
Vancouver airport is drafted.
I've been in the Vancouver airport more than I've been to Vancouver itself because I'm there all the time on layovers, it seems. So I'll take Vancouver.
And on the way back, you get another pick. Tyler, you get to grab either another airport or your carrier.
I love this segment. It's such a disaster.
I'm going to have to take my airline. I'm going to go with Air Canada. I feel like people are always complaining. Everyone who has beef with an airline, I feel like it's always a split. They either hate Air Canada or hate WestJet. Mm. And people are always like, I swear I'll never fly with them again. And it's always one or the Fair other. Enough. But
so you're head to head with Liam.
I like being head to head with Liam too.
Perfect. Interesting. Liam, interesting. You're grabbing another airport. You have two airports left to pick.
Well, we're in the place I've been. So I have just lie. I guess I'll go Calgary.
Calgary Airport. There you go.
It's always served me well. I remember one time.
Gross. Stinks like eggs.
I played on the jungle gym there.
Okay.
Just about a year ago.
Remember when they made us a
27-year-old man.
Remember when they made us stay in the cold part and we had it was freezing. They treated us terribly.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, I've only been to a few places. I've got one other airport left. Otherwise, I'm doing a DMP.
That's fair.
Didn't participate.
Rick, you get to pick either your carrier or an airport.
Like, is carrier like the airline. Vessel you fly airline. On or the land? Airline.
Boeing.
Oh, I was going to take helicopter.
Cool.
I was thinking about that. I've never been in a helicopter.
Me neither. I want to go in one.
I want to go sideways and see if it feels like you're going sideways. And I want to fly with the doors open too.
Mm, yeah, fuck yeah.
That'd be dope, right?
I want to also have my legs hanging out like I'm in the military.
No, I feel you.
Fucking bad.
For the people that can't see Bag Milk, because
I'm holding a gun.
He's holding a gun, as he said.
And imagine
what he wanted to do.
And that one song plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Gun.
No, not Top Gun.
Or some that
people
one.
Say.
Yeah, that one. What's that called? Oh,
Fortunate Son.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's drafting now?
I'm going to go with Sunwing because that means I'm on vacation.
Ooh, nice. Sunwing. That's a really good pick.
Thank you.
I like that one.
An airport or a carrier?
I'm going to get my carrier out of the way. I'm going to go Singapore Airlines because on international flights, you drink for free.
Wow.
Singapore Airways. Is drafted. I am going to grab my last two airports off the board. I'm going to grab the Munich airport because I arrived there and the first thing I saw when I got off the plane was an AK-47 and it just made me feel safer.
Fuck yeah.
my final airport choice is going to be
that's the first thing I think of when I see an AK. It's like, boy, oh boy, I feel safe right now.
Same thing whenever I travel in open carry states. I'm like, boy, at least I know nothing bad's going to happen.
Dan did not specify who is holding this AK, by the way.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to go with the San Francisco airport because I spent an entire night there one time being stuck inside the San Francisco airport. Damn, so
I've been there.
Me in the San Francisco airport. I grabbed that off Liam's board. Going back to Bag Milk with your pick of your airport.
Yeah, I like this one because of its very short runway. So when you land, they slam on the brakes and it gives you a rush. So shout out to the Burbank Airport. The runway is so short before you land, they give you an announcement that, hey, just so you know, when we land, we are slamming on them brakes. Nice. Tyler, do they?
Yeah, and I wasn't paying attention. I had my AirPods in. It startled me.
Where is that carrier?
Burbank. Burbank in LA.
LA.
I want to land on a carrier.
Oh, fuck yeah. That'd be rad.
Rick? Take off and stop. That'd be great.
Your final airport?
Probably the airport I've spent the most time in over my life, and that would be Cancun.
Mm. Okay. Cancun International.
Yeah. Well, it's Quintana Roo, I believe. But yeah.
Perfect.
And they just did some renovations.
With the Cancun Airport. Liam, your airport pick.
They had a bubble gump too.
The board here.
So.
You've never been to this one.
I have three options. I don't like any of them, but I'm going to just go with the Manchester airport, because I was actually going to go with the Paris airport, but then I remembered.
Then you'd have to express some love for Paris.
I know. And then I remembered the horrible interaction I had with an Uber driver there. So I will not be
the airport's fault.
Well, I was at the airport and it was tough to find where to go for the mobile pickup. Got it. So yeah, I guess I'll go Manchester, even though that place is a dump as well. So not a good options for me, to be honest.
Not really.
My other one was Iceland, where I had to eat an egg and tuna sandwich, which is gross.
I had to.
They forced him to go.
I had no option. I was hungry young boy.
Did you just take two sandwiches and put them together?
Nope. It was advertised as a tuna mayonnaise sandwich. I bit into the thing, egg.
Savage.
I can't believe it.
Your food adventures are always my favorite. Like, I'll never forget in my life you ordering a Caesar salad and it had a little sardine in her.
Now that was a shock.
Because if you know how they make the sauce, it makes sense. Shock. But normally they don't stick a full fish in it.
Is there fish in the sauce?
Yeah, there's like sardine paste or whatever.
Really?
Anchovy paste.
Well, it was delicious. But yeah, I wasn't expecting a little friend in my salad.
Well, Liam, you built up all the anticipation for Tyler's final pick of the draft. An airport, Tyler. It's probably you get to draft.
St. Albert Airport.
The Villeneuve Airport. I'm going to take the, whatever the airport's called, in Montreal.
Dorval.
Pierre Turgeon, okay. Trudeau, whatever it is.
Pierre Turgeon.
Half of it's in French, so it's a curve. It's all in French. So it's a curveball. So I like that. I like a little
Pierre Elliott Trudeau International Airport in Montreal.
It'll be Pierre Turgeon.
It's the Pierre Turgeon. Way better. It's the Pierre Turgeon.
And there ends another one of our amazing Dan 3v3 games.
Well, there you go.
I have the list.
You didn't tell me that it was airports we went to. So I Googled unique airport names. Oh I was ready. There's a Batman airport.
Where?
What, Gotham?
You think so? No, it's in Turkey.
Oh, that's...
Or Moron Airport in Spain.
That's where I live.
So cheap.
Fuku Airport in Japan.
We got in trouble with names on our last bit, Rick. We can't do names anymore.
PP Island.
Why, what happened?
PP Island. I mean, I don't know that is actually an airport. So I mean, I spent a year there.
In the airport?
On the island.
The movie Airport was about him.
Car Airport.
Yep.
Flin Flon.
He was played by Tom Hanks.
I want to run through, gentlemen. I've got some betting talk for our friends at Bet99 that I'd like to discuss with you, if you don't mind. Bet99, of course, is the number one online gaming experience in Canada, built by Canadians for Canadians. You elevate your experience with our friends there. Experience the Bet99 same game parlays, player props, flash bet markets, fast payouts, and smooth transactions. Top tier customer service. 19 plus, play responsibly. Not available to people in Ontario. Couple of interesting little future bets I want to throw at you guys. They have changed. The times, they are a-changing at our friends at Bet99. The last time we looked at cup favorites, our beloved Edmonton Oilers were first.
Mm.
Lehman, do you know that they have now dropped to fourth? Although second, there's three teams tied for first. So they're second.
That's probably fair.
How do you feel about this, Lehman?
I think they were rated a little highly on that list.
The Hurricanes, Avalanche, and Panthers are all the listed favorites, currently a plus 700. Where our beloved Edmonton Oilers are second, next up at plus 725. So they're still right up there. Thoughts on the Hurricanes, Avalanche, and Panthers leapfrogging into the favorites position?
I think it logically makes sense. Like, sometimes you'll get these and it's like three metropolitan teams in the top three. And it's like, well, that's silly.
Yep.
But now you have probably the four best teams in each division at the top there. Right?
Yeah. The Hurricanes went and made a bunch of transactions at the deadline and they became, I think, like socially and like to the rest of the league, one of the favorites all of a sudden.
Yeah.
They got their game breakers.
Yeah. And then Colorado has rattled off what, 10 wins in a row?
They're 9-1.
Yeah, there you go. 9-1. They brought in a couple of pieces just to kind of solidify things. I think it was somebody that was saying Carrier has now not lost a game in like 20.
Trennan,
that's the one.
Because he was 8-0 with Nashville and then just went 9-1.
So I think people are just kind of taking notice again of the Colorado Avalanche and that's the bettors understanding that. So it just makes sense. It's a leveling out of the public coming around on these guys.
The more interesting futures question for you gentlemen. Edmonton Oilers over 105.5 points.
What are they at? 88, right?
They are at 89 with 13 games to go. So there's 26 points available. They need, you know, they got some work to do. Mm-hmm. 105.5. The over is set at minus 135. The under is plus 110, Tyler.
Oh, 110.
There's a part of me that thinks that last game against Colorado, they might be sitting some names.
So would Colorado, though.
Not if Nathan McKinnon's chasing his point record.
What's his point record?
He's point record? He gets his point, then he does the old Phil Kessel where he comes out and, yeah.
He's looking to become the second player to ever get a point in every home game in a season.
Wayne Gretzky. Gotcha.
Yeah, him and Wayne. So the Oilers would need, again, 18 points to get there in 13 games.
26 points available. They need 18.
So you got to go like 9-4. I'll take the under.
16 they need.
I'll take the under.
Rick, thoughts? Life's too short to bet the
under. I don't love it. I don't love saying that. But again, like they got some tough games on the schedule. Some spots where Pickard's going to be getting some
passing
games.
Up the Columbuses, the Senators, the Buffaloes. That hurts too.
Yeah. If I was to bet on it, then I would
want your money.
Then I'd take the under just because that's where the odds are.
All right. Nation Dan, thoughts?
Yeah, it's the under for now.
But for the record, I'm not betting on it, so I'm not saying they're going to end up under.
But you guys said it. It's just it's the missing the points against the Ottawas, even Toronto.
Liam, final say. Over 105.5. You taking the over or the under?
Under.
Life's too short to take the under. You take the over.
Plus money.
It is plus money?
Plus money.
But I believe in our boys. You guys will all be losing your bets while I'll be cashing in slightly less than what you would have made.
Before do we have any more Bet 99 talk?
No, sir.
I have one.
Oh, go ahead.
I want to do a fun Tyler thing here on Bet 99.
Money into his account.
Let's do it.
I know. I was just looking. No, because they gave me a $25 bonus.
Oh, very nice.
So I got a $25 bonus and I'm going to spend it on whatever we collectively decide as a group.
Okay.
Because I think the President's Trophy race is fascinating right now. You have New York and Vancouver at 98 points apiece. And then you have Florida, Colorado, Carolina, Dallas, and Boston, all just 1 point back. And they all have 71 or 72 games played. So it's a fascinating spot for, you know, basically all of these teams could realistically win it because there's such little time left. Mm-hmm. I have a $25 bonus. I'm going to put it on whatever team we decide on now, and I will buy beers of a varying degree if the bet wins for us for a pod.
By varying degree, does that mean how many or type brands? Because if we're talking about many, then I'm definitely involved. Brands, here's a sip of this kind, here's a sip of that kind. Well, 7 each, let's go.
I'll just buy beers for a podcast. I don't know. Sure. Varying degree, might be really nice.
Read the odds for the teams.
Okay, so the Rangers come in at plus 240. Then you have the Panthers at plus 350. And then just in order to speed it up, Colorado, Carolina, then Vancouver. Dallas is plus 950. The Bruins are 17-1.
I'm going Bruins.
I'm putting my money on. So for the Bruins to do it, they're going to be they will not win a tiebreaker.
Ooh, that's an interesting angle to look at here. Because it's the tiebreaker is the first tiebreaker in the NHL.
Regulation wins, right?
Regulation. It's the greatest number of games won, excluding games won in OT or shootout. So it's actually regulation wins.
Yes.
32, yeah. They wouldn't win a tiebreaker.
No,
Carolina?
Carolina in that mix was plus 640.
That's lame.
Canes and Bruins do play each other twice. Bruins have a tough schedule.
I'd probably take the Avs.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Bruins schedule. I take that back.
Carolina. Carolina have the Penguins, the Red Wings, the Canadiens, the Bruins, the Capitals, Blue Jackets twice, Chicago, Boston, and St. Louis.
So I'm on the Hurricanes. I'm with Lehman.
I can't say no to the team, but man, I don't know if you guys remember 2006. I hate doing anything.
I actually blocked out.
I want to spend Tyler's money. That's what I'm.
That's fair.
That's what I want.
I
want
to drink Dallas his money. Stars.
We have to decide on one.
Get the vote. No. It's all about.
I'm sorry,
the vote.
I'm just going.
Well, the vote is still in favor of the Canes.
We're a democracy in Canada.
All right. Okay. So if the Canes win the President's Trophy, beers on the first podcast.
One beer each.
Well, hold on a second here. Hold on a second here. Just for how much would you win?
185.
Okay, so
from the full 25.
That could buy us some nice beers.
That could buy
I'm not going to spend the whole thing on beers.
Why not?
Oh, here we are.
Now the rules have been adjusted.
You guys wanted me to spend.
Yes.
We would have picked the Bruins. You would have wanted me to spend like $500 on beer?
Yes.
Not? Yeah, that's what you said.
I want us
you
to be like.
A variety of beers.
Everybody's got to get a ride home. That's what I want.
We can maybe do that.
Can I drop some knowledge on everybody?
Please.
Quickly. So here's some guys around when Zach Hyman was signed who have similar deals. Philip Deneau, Jaden Schwartz have both 5.5.
Okay. I do like Philip Deneau.
I like both those guys.
Do you have do you have the total income on their parents?
Yeah, how much money does Deneau's parents make?
It just says not as much as Mr. and Mrs. Hyman, actually. Michael Granlund, Mikhail Granlund, $5 million. Blake Coleman, what's this saying?
Lambs.
It was not a goal. Kicks, whatever.
It was not a goal. He's a kicker.
Brandon Saad, 4.5. Wenberg, 4.5. Michael Hoffman, also 4.5. Last one I'll give you. Thomas Tatar, 4.5. So safe to say, who signed him?
Who signed that one?
The Devils.
To Tatar?
Tatar. Oh, okay.
Thank God. I thought it was Cameron.
There's only one. There's two other players who got paid more than Hyman. It actually wasn't like that much of like an expensive free agent class. Grubauer got 5.9. Dougie Hamilton, $9 million was the highest.
Right now, if you had a UFA out there and you didn't, position didn't matter, dollars didn't matter, are you going after Hyman or are you going after Dougie Hamilton first?
Knowing what I know right now?
No, just right now as players. Right now, they're both available. You can sign one to like a free contract.
I will say this, and I don't mean it to be disrespectful. I think it's harder to find Dougie Hamilton than Zach Hyman.
Dougie Hamilton's a really good guy.
On his yeah, team. I would have Dougie Hamilton over Hyman.
Yeah, only 96 players have ever scored 150 goals.
No, I know. Ever. And that's Dougie
Hamilton say he's in the top 96 of doing anything?
Yeah, but he was just pretty lucky.
Dougie Hamilton just likes going to museums.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Point.
The Royal Alberta Museum can only be so entertaining for so many times for Dougie Hamilton, especially if he's there 3-4 times a day. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to get our boy Waz, and we're going to teach him a few things about life.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
For our friends at the Snow Valley Aerial Park and Rainbow Valley Campground, it's time for Waz's signature segment. It's not a bit nor a game. Can you clear that segment up for me? Starting on May 31st, family fun for all summer long. Attractions include the Aerial Tower, the White Mud Creek Mining Company, Target Golf, and the all-new mini golf. That is the Snow Valley Aerial Park. It is a great time. It is going to be wonderful. And the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra will return in August. Check the ESO website for some tickets. They're going to be doing events there all summer long. And for the Rainbow Valley Campground, they open on May 15th this summer. Take advantage of over 60 sites and 3 comfort camping domes right here in Edmonton. Visit rainbow-valley.com to book your spot. It is the only campground in the city. Get yourself booked in. Maybe do a whole weekend.
Liam and I looked at those comfort camping domes.
Pretty sick.
Those are sick.
They are sick.
They're like fully furnished and everything.
Should we have maybe like we should do a podcast in there.
ONR yeah. In the pod.
We were just talking about
and then we go smack some balls.
Mm-hmm.
Then we climb and we get scared a little.
Waz has to come and film us though, because that is his home.
Actually, I have one question.
We got to give you a microphone, Waz.
Okay. My one question about this is like, can actually clear this up for me. As what's the coal mining thing? The white mud coal at
Mud Creek coal mining.
Yeah, yeah,
we send you into a mine and you mine for coal.
Yeah,
you come back
fairly straightforward. Actually, yeah.
Very good. I like that. All right. First one. I found this one on Twitter, so I thought, why not throw it in here? Clear this up for me. The Oilers need to play a heavier game to win the Stanley Cup. Is that true or false?
I would say it's actually probably fairly true in many aspects.
I think they got the players that can do it. I think that they've got the players that can do it. They did not do it the last couple of games, so I can see why people are thinking about it. The Oilers weren't very physical in Ontario. Uh-huh. Probably should change, even though they have the players that can play that way.
I don't think they're a soft team by any means, and I don't think this has been a trend for the season, but for the playoffs, yes, they have to play physical.
Ken Holland has put together a team that's strong suitable team. To win the Stanley Cup, and yes, if they play to their best, they won't get pushed around by anybody.
I would say I'm more worried about their ability, especially in the bottom six, to play faster than I am their ability to play bigger and tougher. So
I just would like to see them all come together and push people around some more, Waz. So I do think that the team overall has to just show a little bit more teeth.
This one's kind of almost a little bit the same, but I was thinking about it. Now, as we do get closer to the playoffs, what is the recipe for success in this year's playoffs from the Oilers? Good goaltending is one, but what else is
scoring more goals than the other team?
Oh, that's a good one.
You rascal.
Dominant special teams.
For the Oilers, especially right now, because it's front of mind, play full 60. Here's the thing. Thinking back to Saturday in Toronto. If they played the entire game like they did for the final 20 minutes, we're not talking about a 6-3 loss. It takes more than a period to win hockey games. People play a full 60.
I would just tack on to that too. Don't let yourself get caught up in the emotion. And we saw it last year when Petrangelo did his shit to Draisaitl. It just seems like this team kind of gets lost in that unbridled emotion sometimes.
Last one up here is clear this up for me. How important is it for the Oilers to get wins over Dallas, Vancouver, and Colorado in the last few games here? Against top 10 opponents this season, the Oilers have a 6-11-3 record. Is that concerning?
I think those wins are important because you want home ice. I don't think winning those games gives you, outside of maybe some internal confidence, any better of a chance of like beating them in the playoffs.
I think you want to win the games because to be the best, you got to beat the best. And there are going to be teams that you probably have to beat on road to the Stanley Cup. So I want wins over everybody, not just those teams. Doesn't matter who they are. They got 13 games. Let's go 13-0. Why not?
I want to beat them. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Once you get to the playoffs, it's a different time. You're playing one team, seven games. Doesn't really matter. You got to win those games.
6-11-3, you said.
Yeah. But then if you think about it, a lot of these losses like came early in the season. Like Vancouver, I think two to three of the losses came in October.
Three.
Yeah, there you go. And even Dallas, I think I remember, was in November. So
I'm just looking. Since Christmas, they've beat LA, Toronto, Boston.
LA, is LA a top 10 team right now?
I guess I'm counting playoff teams. Right. They've beat Vegas. They beat Nashville. They have to be those teams because they need to lock up second place.
Yeah, but then I guess you compare it to the West teams and stuff, right? It's just there's that narrative where the Oilers have beaten the bad teams a lot of the time this year, but the good teams. We haven't played like it's very been inconsistent. I find.
Don't let the narrative get to you, buddy.
Yeah, don't listen to mainstream media.
Yeah, do your own.
Don't let the man get you down, Waz.
They don't talk enough about people's upbringing.
This is true. With that being said, thank you for clearing that up for me.
You're welcome.
Bye, Waz. There goes Waz.
That was a good sign off, Waz.
Thank you for clearing that up for Waz.
Dark and depressing
out here. And it stinks like ribs and meat.
It's wafting.
A lot of what is with our staff sitting in the dark all the time?
I don't get it. I come in, I turn the light on, and people get upset with me.
I'm a big dark guy.
It's a place of work, not a cocoon.
I sit there staring at a screen with a backlight.
There's a lot of work done inside of a cocoon.
I'm not a vampire, although I'd like to be. We're going to wrap up this podcast with a very thrilling debate about which movie Brad Pitt was the most handsome in. Tyler, go ahead.
Troy. Moneyball.
Oh, Troy.
Yeah, it's Troy. The answer's Troy.
No, the
handsome?
When he's the vampire.
Oh, Interview with the Vampire?
Yeah.
He's immortal, French, and sexy.
Yeah, and he's young. He's got the long blonde hair.
Underrated in World War Z.
It was a good movie, too.
Yeah. Was he handsome?
Oh, yeah.
Ruggedly handsome.
Long hair. World War Z.
I think brains are the most handsome part of someone.
He's just a big Billy Bean guy.
Listen, I don't know what he did in those other movies, but turning the Oakland A's into a playoff contender is way more impressive.
That's fair.
He saved the world in World War Z.
Noted playoff contender.
I stand by what I said.
Not champions, just contenders.
Finally, let's wrap up the podcast for real. We got a game tonight against the Winnipeg Jets. Nation Dan, your score prediction.
Well, I will note that I was the only person that predicted we would lose to the Leafs.
So it's your fault?
It's your fault.
Blame me.
Blame Dad.
I'm going to say we beat the airportless ones 4-1.
Lehman.
I think it'll be 3-1 with an empty net. And just for the record, because I did go back and listen to the podcast on Friday, I did not get engaged.
Congratulations. How many people congratulated you?
A ton.
You know how I felt for years. It's annoying.
I was just very confused. And then my girlfriend was like, well,
it was good of you to take a maintenance day.
What are we going to do about this? I don't know.
Congrats, Lehman.
Thank you so much.
Lehman left her there for nothing.
Tyler, score prediction against the Jets.
4-3 in ogre time.
For whomst?
The Oilers.
Rick?
Who's goaltending for them?
Hellebuyck
or 5-2 Edmonton.
4-2 win coming at you. Lock it in. Spray a couple of shekels on it over at Bet99, provided that you're 19 plus, can do so responsibly, and you don't live in Ontario. Got it? Good. That's the Tuesday episode of ONR. Talk to you on Friday. Have a great week, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.